book of Revelation, chapter number 17. As we look at this chapter, we realize that 17 comes after 16. And at the close of chapter number 16, we virtually have come to the end of the tribulation period. The only thing remaining to be fought is pretty much the battle of Armageddon. And as we move into chapter 17, instead of moving directly into the Lord's return back to the earth, we are told about the future of this one world religious system that the Antichrist has established during the tribulation. The tribulation is going to be a time that's going to be very religious. It's going to unite all denominations together under one world leader. In chapter 17, we're going to see the judgment of religious Babylon and the judgment beginning on her political system. Now, we do realize that Babylon is a real city, but it also stands for a religious system, a political system, friend, that is very dangerous tonight. So in chapter 17 and 18, you're going to see Babylon being judged. Now, the beginning of the religious system of Babylon began in Genesis chapter 11, and we need to turn there too. Chapter 10, we learned about a man by the name of Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. We understand that this man became like a dictator, a mighty ruler upon the earth. In chapter 11, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly." And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." You see, friend, the problem with this religious system is it leads God out. It leaves him out. Let us do this. Let us do that. I can tell you right now, there are churches that are operating on "let us do this and let us do that." And they leave God totally out of the equation. Verse 5, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city." In other words, they stopped this stuff. They were building this tower that would reach up towards heaven. That was going to be the place that they were going to have worship. That was going to be the place that everybody would live within sight of this tower. And God had told Noah to replenish the whole earth. Nimrod said, "We ain't going to do that. We're going to live around this tower. I'm going to be the dictator. I'm going to be the world ruler. We don't need God." And so quickly, all he's wanting to do is just leave God out. And right here is some of the very beginnings of a false religious system. You see, it was about works. It was about let us make this and let us build that. That's what a lot of our churches are doing. It's about works. And friend, works, while it may be good, you got to have some faith. And faith without works is dead, being alone. We do know that. But friend, I'm telling you what, you're not justified by your works. You're not saved by your works. You're not redeemed by your works. You're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb that we've heard sung about tonight. Amen. So be careful about this false religious system. "Well, preacher, I got baptized." You ain't saved then. "Well, who are you to tell me that I didn't get saved if I got baptized?" The Bible says there's no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. If you don't come under the shed blood of Calvary's flow of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. Amen. "Well, preacher, I don't want to." That's glory. Amen. For me, it's glory to get under the blood of Jesus Christ. Chapter 17 is a difficult chapter. Very difficult chapter of Revelation. Look at the scripture where it says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. So first of all tonight, we want to point out the establishment of a one world religion. Now, Babylon is a city, and it is a city that's being rebuilt even this day. In fact, I looked this up. I read an article, April 17th, 2011. The Obama administration contributes $700,000 to the Future of Babylon project to rebuild that city. Hey, like that, taxpayers. They don't report that on the news much, do they? But we got him. You may say, that's a bunch of junk. I'm telling you what, you're right, it's a bunch of junk. That's what I feel about it too. The Future of the Babylon project. Well, the city's being rebuilt greatly right now, but it's also a religious system. Now, I want you to see the authority of this one world religious system. The Bible says that there's a judgment of this great whore. And what is the great whore? This great whore is the one world religious system that's false. And it's a whore because of its seductive and deceitful powers. You may say, preacher, you ought not to say that word from the pulpit. Maybe God ought not to put that word in the Bible. Hey, he wrote it. He knows about its seductive powers. He knows about this one world religion. He knows about its deceit. In fact, verse 5 even calls it the mother of harlots. Babylon is the leader of all world false religions. I tell you what, Brother David Talavar, there's a lot of false religions over in the Philippines. Babylon is the mother of all them. Nimrod had a little bit to do with all that junk where we think there's salvation by some false god or some type of works that you do. Look at her authority. She sitteth upon many waters. What are the waters? Verse 15 tells us, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. It's all the people who've gathered together. You realize when the tribulation comes into place, the Antichrist will use religion to pull all the people together in unity and one day to try to get them to worship him. And it's going to be a very religious time. And I'm telling you, the talk of that stuff is going around now. That's why they have all these different Bibles. It's why they have all these different types of music. It's why that they try to say, let's all just get together right now and drop our differences and let's worship together. Friend, listen, there's some people we can't worship with. If we can't worship through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can't worship with some denominations. It's not through Mary. It's through Jesus. So you understand that he's going to judge this great whore that sits upon many waters. He's going to judge this false religion. So in other words, she has authority. She has influence. This false religion has influence upon the entire civilized world. So we see her authority. I want you to see her alliances in verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The kings of the earth are the leaders of the civilized world during the Great Tribulation. Today, there's a lot of speculation about the separation between church and state. Well, the reason that that should be is because we don't want the state telling the church what she can and cannot preach. But the church does need to be involved in the state. Yes, it does. And right here, the Antichrist is using religion, and what he's going to do is he's going to take control of religion and tell the world what they can worship, what they cannot, what they can preach, what they cannot. All he's going to do is govern and protect this one world system. The scripture says the leaders of the world are going to commit fornication. That's the interaction that they have, the nations of the world, with this false religious system. The Bible says that they'll be drunk with the wine of her fornication. The nations are going to be intoxicated with this false religion during that day, and they're going to believe it completely. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now here's this scarlet colored beast. This beast that has the 7 heads and 10 horns was identified in chapter 13 and verse number 1. He is the Antichrist that is being identified here. This woman is definitely the false religion, and the Antichrist and false religion are hooked up together one on one. It will be fully supported by the Antichrist and by the false prophet, and all the inhabitants of the world will bow down, except for those that are going to be, give their life for their faith, are going to bow down to the Antichrist. So I want you to see in verse 4 the appearance of this false religious system. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. We know that those are colors of royalty, colors of nobility. Those are colors of one denomination I can think of very clearly. They've got a lot of gold and a lot of those colors. Hello. The Bible says that be decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. In other words, it begins to speak of her wealth, the wealth of a false religious system. There's one denomination I can think of now that they own TV stations. They control what's reported and what's not. They own newspapers. They control what's reported and what's not. They own magazines. They control what's reported and what's not. They have great investments, great holdings, properties, and lands. They even sometimes get involved in politics. Roman Catholicism. Now, the Bible says she's got a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. This golden cup has got, what did he say? Full of abominations. It's filled with false gospel. There is no salvation in Mary. There is no salvation in infant baptism. That's a bunch of junk. But it's filled with a false gospel and deceit. Think about the immorality and the idolatry of Roman Catholicism. There's idolatry all over the place in that. And you think about the immorality. Every week you hear some new report of some sexual scandal inside the church. Yet I'm sad to say that the Roman Catholics aren't the only denominations that are having this problem now. It's coming in every one of our churches, amen. These scandals of sexual immorality. God help. I remind you, this is religion, not salvation. Religion is what is man's attempt to get to God. Salvation is what God has done for man. We see in verse 5, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. This woman or this false system is clearly identified. The word mystery indicates it's not just a geographical location. It indicates to us it is a system. Again, I tell you, during the tribulation, there will be a great false religious system introduced by the false prophet and the Antichrist to rebel against God. The same things that happened at Babylon during Nimrod's day, when it began, is going to be in the same city it's going to end. A false religious system. Now, according to the scripture, you're going to see in verse 6 the actions of this great system. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, this one world religion is going to hate true believers. They hate true Christians with all their might. They're killing them for their faith. The Antichrist is going to put them to death. More than Hitler ever did to the Jews, the Antichrist is going to put real Christians to death. And let me tell you something. I could go down through the Crusaders during the Crusades and tell you how many were martyred for the faith. Friend, we could go on and on about what Roman Catholicism has done, taking Bibles away from people, amen, to keep them from knowing the truth of the Word of God. Still, they'd rather try to stand up and give you some edict or some oration out of a prayer book than teaching you the Word of God, because the Word of God would show you very clearly where they're wrong. Amen? And they're afraid of all that stuff. It is a bloodthirsty system. After all, was it not religion that killed Jesus? Was it not the chief priests and the elders that brought false accusations against him? Is that not what put Jesus to death? Friend, I'm going to tell you what, the actions of this great whore is terrible. Now, John has a reaction too. He says, when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. He's marveling at this thing. He's a little bit confused. He says, I see a scarlet beast. He said, I see a woman, a great whore riding on this beast. I'm a little bit confused. I marvel a little bit at just exactly what's going on here. I've never seen anything like this. That is definitely the one world religion that's going to come into play. But when we start verse number 7, we come to point number 2, the explanation of the one world religion. You remember, there were 7 angels poured out their vials or their bowls of wrath, of God's wrath upon this earth. One of those angels is talking to John here. And in verse number 7, the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath 7 heads and 10 horns. Says, I'm going to let you know how the woman and the beast are connected. Look in verse 8. We see the rise of the beast. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. Preacher, what does that mean? He was and is not. The one that you saw. Remember, he faked his death. He's been wounded. He acted like he's dead. And on the third day, he was raised up again. And the whole world's going to believe he was a Messiah. He was and is not, because he laid dead. And the world's going to see him. But after 3 days, he's going to get up and he's going to be a counterfeit, a pretend Messiah, a pretend Christ. He is Antichrist. He was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. In other words, the Antichrist is the agent of the devil. And go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not, and yet is. You see, they're going to be amazed by him. And they're going to believe him as being the Messiah. Again, it's a false religious system. Verse 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. It's almost like John is told right here, the mind which hath wisdom. Pay close attention. So church, pay close attention to this right here. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. 7 heads are 7 mountains. Now there's one city famous in its location being the city of 7 hills. It is called Rome. And I do believe that the false religious system, I'm not saying it's Roman Catholicism, maybe something else. It's going to be a combination of that and Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism. Lord have mercy. And I believe this system is going to be headquartered in the city of Rome. Preacher, why do you believe that? Because where she's located here. That's where she's located, riding this seven-headed monster on which the woman sitteth, and there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now, friend, please get this. The beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. Let's break this down just for a second. We're going to call this the rule of the beast. Now, there's 7 kings. 5 are fallen. I believe it represents 5 separate kingdoms that history would declare unto us. Number 1, it would tell us about Egypt. Number 2, it would tell us about Assyria. Number 3, it would tell us about Babylon. Number 4, it would tell us about Medo-Persia. Number 5, it would tell us about Greece. And the one that currently is no doubt speaking of the Romans that are in rule while John is making this writing. So that's the 6th great kingdom that we can certainly understand. Now we realize that before John, 5 have fallen. There are 5 kingdoms gone away. And 1 is, that's Rome. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. I believe after the tribulation, I believe that the Antichrist will rise into power. And he's going to come in the name of peace. And he's going to take all the nations of the world and bring them together. I believe that's the seventh kingdom right there. I believe that seventh kingdom that's put together represents the federated nations of all the earth trying to live in peace and harmony. But then the scripture says in the next verse, the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. Preacher, how can he be the eighth when you say he's the seventh? Well, the scripture said he is the eighth, but he's of the seven. In other words, he led them in the name of peace, but then he died, supposedly. And he raised up, supposedly. And he says, I am the Messiah. Messiah, Messiah. Worship me, 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 ye nations of the earth, earth, earth. And when he proclaims himself as God, that'll be the second half of the tribulation, the great tribulation. And he's going to rule and reign for 42 months during that second part of the tribulation. The scripture says in verse 10, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kingdoms. What about 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast? These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These 10, what does the scripture say? Horns that are on this beast, they represent 10 kings. Man, I've tried to come up with this and tried to come up with this. This is the best thing that God's given me. The current European Union that has gotten together to say, we're having trading problems with all of our monies. Let's go to 1 euro. Let's put all our monies together. They're going to have a one monetary system, a one political system one day. Right now, there are 27 nations that are involved with the European Union. I made this little thing here, 27 nations. It covers, according to 2010 numbers, 501 million people under the heading of the European Union. You may say, preacher, what's the big deal? You said 10 kings, there's 27. Guess what they just voted to do last year? They voted that we are 27 separate countries, but that we might all be treated equally. Let's divide into 10 separate but equal regions. 10. And the Bible says there'll be 10 kings that's going to give their power, their resources to the Antichrist. And we realize that this is going to be a revived Roman Empire. I would remind you that Rome was in Europe. And it is revived right now where we are. Last I checked on Friday, your good old American dollar here, if they come here, it's worth $1.43. It takes $1.43 to buy 1 euro. You see, they're gaining in power all the time. And the trading with them, friend, they're going to start owning more of our country than we own ourselves. And it's happening. Preacher, how can this be? God said it would. God said this would happen. So when you see these things happening, and earthquakes in diverse places, and wars on every hand, and the things that God said coming to pass, you ought to say, lift up your head, for redemption draweth nigh. If you're saved, praise God, you don't have to worry about all these things. According to verse 13, these kings are totally devoted to the Antichrist. They willingly give him everything they have, and he uses them as a stepping stool for authority, and now he's in complete domination. He's using a one-world religious system and a one-world political system. But now watch what's going to happen. The Antichrist is very jealous. He doesn't like to share his glory with anybody. So because he's a political man and he's a religious imposter, his political empire will eat up his religious empire. And God's going to allow the Antichrist to even basically judge himself. Look with me at the extermination of a one-world religion, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. We know at the Battle of Armageddon, as the Antichrist takes all his armies to defeat Israel, the Lord Jesus is going to come back. And there's going to come an army back with him. These are they that are, what does the scripture say?
These are they that are called. That's you and me. These are they that are chosen. That's you and I. These are they that are faithful. We're going to come back with him and defeat the Antichrist and all the armies that are. And we're going to say, hallelujah, what a mess this was. Verse 15, he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. It's these people that put him into power. Verse 16, the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these 10 regions, these 10 kingdoms, these shall hate the whore. In other words, the political system is going to hate the religious system and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Didn't I just tell you they own the newspapers, the TV stations, the magazines, many, many properties, got gold galore. You know the Antichrist is going to look at that and say, I want it all. And he's going to steal it. He's going to take it from the church, from the false religious system, and he's going to put it into his own political kingdom. That's what he's going to do. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Why in the world would he turn on himself? God put it in his heart. God said this is what he's going to do, and he's going to do it. God put it in their hearts to do this and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Basically, the Antichrist not even going to care about his 10 kingdoms, his 10 regions, not going to care about his world, not going to care about his religious system. Basically, the only thing he cares about is him. Boy, we do that in a lot of our churches. Verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. I believe that great city is probably Rome, where this whole thing is going to be headquartered. Could represent Babylon. We know that that city is going to be rebuilt. Friend, I promise you that's modern day Iraq. When I was a little boy, you never heard of Iraq. When I was a little boy, you never heard of some of these. But all of a sudden, these nations that are in the Bible and Babylon in the Bible, all of a sudden they're resurfacing. How's that happening? God said it would. God said it would. You stand to your feet tonight. I want to say this to you. God hates religion, don't he? He hates religion of any kind, especially a one-world religion. It's definitely headed for judgment.